Hello, and welcome to Legends of Azoria. A collection of tales from a land filled with magic and mayhem. Political intrigue and downfalls. Heroes and heroines saving the day. And monsters and beasts plunging it back to peril. This legend is carried out by Stimpius, the thieving Kenku Ranger. Lausian, the conceited Eldrin Wizard. And Blaze Butler, the captivating Tabaxi Bard. Join us as we relive history and discover dangers, pitfalls, and stupid decisions that made Azoria the legend it is today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Legends of Azoria Behind the Screen. Now, this mini-series that we're going to have episodes here and there for is, I wanted to give you guys a look behind the DM's, my screen, and the planning that went into making our campaigns. So the first campaign we're going to talk about, we're actually just going to talk about the first portion of it, is our current one, the Legend of the Dragon's Horde. Now, our party is pretty tired this week. They weren't able to all make it together for a session. But I still wanted to give you guys content. So, going back to the beginning of the campaign, many things happened that I didn't expect. First off, was Stimpy just immediately punching Jacob's character, just right off the bat. Because Stimpy and Jacob hadn't actually played very much. Stimpy had played twice before with us, but he was still pretty new. It was a couple years ago. And then Jacob hadn't played very much. Wit, on the other hand, had played quite a bit. Me and him had. And I use a lot of homebrew, as you guys probably know. A lot of the rules that I make up, sometimes on the spot. Sometimes I bend rules if the results would be cool. Stuff like that. That's just how I prefer to play the game. I think it makes it more enjoyable. Some people don't agree with that, and that's fine. But I really want to expand on things that either were expected or planned that didn't happen, or things that were unexpected that did happen. And once again, started off the bat on a crazy note with Stimpy just punching Jake for no reason, taking the paper and then just going inside. Because if you remember, they had four, not notes, oh goodness, job posters? What's the word? You know what I mean. Notices. They had four notices of jobs that they could do, which I actually reached out to them, and they said that the beginning part of the campaign was probably their most favorite, which I'm like, ah, shoot, kind of made the rest of it kind of boring. Didn't mean to do that, but at least they enjoyed the beginning. And they're still enjoying it. It's just their favorite part thus far has been the beginning, with the almost different things that they had to do per session, which was kind of nice. It's just like a bunch of little mini one-shots. But in the first one, they all meet at a tavern. They don't know each other. They meet at a tavern. Stimpy punches Jake, goes inside. He takes the paper. Wit takes the paper. They go back inside. Jacob is a bard. So he tries to go show off and perform. But the current bard that's working there, Sir coughs a lot. That's actually a call to, or a reference to, Jacob's online persona on Xbox. He had like this like little tumor or something in the back of his throat that just caused him to cough incessantly. But we didn't know that that's what was causing it for several years, so we would always give him crap for coughing all the time, and he changed his name to Sir Coughs a Lot. So that was kind of my way of sticking him in there as... Because Jacob's not whiny in real life, but he's very fun to kind of tease and mess with, and he's a really good sport about it. We all kind of tease each other, but turning him into Sir Coughs a Lot and it being one of his favorite characters made me really happy. They all thought it was hilarious. So That was fun. I didn't expect them to like make him cry, but they did. And then Wit throws a drink. Oh, sorry, Stimpy throws a drink at Wit. Wit gets upset, and then all of a sudden they're cool, they're chill. But while that was all happening, and Wit was, he then offered to buy a drink for Stimpy to kind of chill him out. Stimpy straight up just pickpocketed Wit's belongings. It was one of the notices from the notice board. And we do it over roll 20, so he kind of sent me a chat that he wanted to do that. I had a Wit roll for perception, and he didn't perceive anything. So Stimmy got away with it, and then all of a sudden they're now on the same team, and Wit goes to pull out the paper, and Stimmy's like, "Oh, I found it on the floor." It was great. It was great. Definitely recommend listening to the first episode again if you haven't for a while. Next, they get over that. Everyone's chill. Wit and Stimpy are looking for their third member of their party, and they see Blaze Buckler, which is Jacob's character. He's doing some acrobatics, and he goes up and he's like, "Oh, maybe I'd like to join you." And Wit then asks that he sing him a song from his homeland, and he has Jacob sing "Baa Baa Black Sheep," and it was all right. It was rough. I don't think Jake expected to be put on the spot like that, but I mean, when you're a bard, you gotta be ready for that. So they get all buddies. They're kind of like, "Okay, we're gonna do this together. Let's do these notices." And the first one that they pick is actually for the tavern that they're at. They go talk to Emma, not Blackbriar. Shoot. Emma Darkdraft. Sorry, Skyrim on the brain. We talk to Emma Darkdraft. She owns the pub, tavern, whatever. And Stimpy steals from her. Are you noticing a pattern? And she has them go look for something that's been stealing their supplies out of their cellar. After some investigation, they find a hole or a stone in the ground that's been lifted and moved around, and they find a hole, a very, very deep pitch black hole underneath it. Stimpy gets drunk, passes out, and has a vision that I don't know if that was actually shared in the episode. I gave Stimpy the option to share it or not. But he had a vision about a large golden dragon coming down upon him, and then he just woke up in a start. So Stimpy doesn't tell any of them that. They are debating on how to get down the hole. Wit decides he wants to throw a candle down it, and so he can see when it goes out or see where it lands, see how deep the hole is. Problem being, that may work with the glow stick, but with a candle, not so much. Because he threw it down, then the candle immediately goes out. Because he threw it down a hole. So they realize that wasn't the best idea. They find the best way is to just jump down, which works. They get down there, and it's dark, it's damp, because they're in a seaport. They actually, before they noticed the stone in the ground, they thought it was a stone in the wall, and Jacob almost flooded the tavern, so that was fun. But he didn't. He put the stone back in. Everything was good. Anyways, they get down there, and they suddenly hear a hissing voice at them. And that's where we kind of left it off. Stimpy's character was real scared because he's the only one who can't see in the dark in the party. But they weren't able to really see anything anyways, because they were in a cavern, it was kind of dark. So, moving to episode two, they discover that the source of the sound is a kobold named Gulak, who has a wife and children living in the cavern, and he's been stealing the food from the tavern to feed his family. Stimby thinks he should just murder them, and murder all of them, leave no witnesses. They decide against that. And then Snape was like, well, let's just murder them and then we can have the children as slaves. And they were against that, luckily, because didn't realize how dark everyone was and sadistic. But, you know, it's fine. That kind of tapers out a little bit as we go through. But they go back up. They tell Emma kind of what's going on. And Emma wants the hole to be sealed up or Gulak to be exterminated. Jake does the very noble thing and gives a speech or tells Emma about what a good idea it would be to actually just hire Gulak on, and then instead of having to pay him, he would essentially just be working off his debts. So, kind of free labor, and she goes for it. They don't want to go back down in the hole, so Stimpy goes back down in the hole, and he tells Gulak, like, hey, you're fine, you've got to work here. Gulak's like, okay, that's fine, whatever. Thanks for saving me. And Gulak actually gives him, like, a talon, a kobold talon. And that's something I just made up on the spot, because I felt like he'd probably give Stimpy something, but what would he have if he really has nothing? I don't think Stimpy even remembers that he has that. And he may have... I don't think he gave it to Ciro. But that just kind of withered away into nothingness. Which is fine, because I didn't actually have a plan for it. I just kind of pulled that out of my butt right there and then. But that happens. They go back up. They decide that they should work on their next contract. So the next one takes them to the Saltwater Chapel, which is the oldest building in Drypyr. And they enter the chapel and they see a little gnome and a beautiful elvish man. And then we end that episode. Episode 3, the heroes come in and they discover that the gnome's name is Saint Rudd, which is actually a reference to Wit's online persona. His gamer tag or username is often Saint Gnome, and his last name is Rudd. So we named him Saint Rudd, made him a little gnome. It was a fun little callback. They laughed at it a little bit. You guys probably didn't really get it, what was so funny, but that's what they were laughing at, as we put Wit in the game there. We gave him a little hamster voice. And then we actually made we made a love interest for Wit, or for Laustian, his character, and his name is Father Darmietro. He is an elf who grew up in the chapel and learning from Saint Rudd. And he's handsome. He's really, really handsome. And then Laustian gets all flustered, and it's all fun. And they learn that there have been priests going missing in the, not necessarily catacombs, I guess we'll just call it the tombs underneath the chapel. And they've got a lot of magical items down there. They've got tons of treasures and stuff, but they don't touch any of it because those are the things that belonged to those who had died. So they were kind of buried with them. And they're told that they are not to steal any of it or touch any of it because none of it's theirs. To just take care of the problem, come back, and they'll get rid of the reward. Obviously, if you're kind of following the strategy of Stimpy, or Stimpius, he really likes stealing things. He's got kind of some sticky fingers. So they go down there, they hear a chittering noise, and they get into their first fight. Now, they were kind of itching for a fight because they hadn't had one yet. The thing was, I thought that I had balanced it correctly, which I had not. I had actually put 3 Nothics in the tomb, and they just ended up fighting one because they almost died on the first fight. So that happens. They kill him. Wit extracts the eye. Jacob extracts some of the spines to get some daggers. And they start looting stuff. I was kind of playing devil's advocate, just being, oh no, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. So they start looting stuff. One of the things that they start to loot is they simply finds a plate of scones. It's just one scone. However, when he breaks open the scone, it erupts into 77 scones. Just explosion of scones. And I just the scone of Salazar, that's actually I the one thing that really sticks in my head from that episode is the scone of Salazar. And it's funny because Wit wanted it, but he didn't want to tell Stimpy what it did. So he kept lying to Stimpy, and he's like, oh, it'll poison you. And he would roll for deception, but Stimpy would roll for insight, and he was able to tell every time that Wit was lying. So eventually he told him the truth. They were all good. Jacob searches around some more inside some of the caskets, or not caskets, I guess it would be sarcophagi, and he finds two priests in there. They were seem to be hiding from the Nothic, both unconscious. I believe Stimpy spit up some food and like fed them like a baby bird. They woke up. They were like, oh man, that was terrifying. We've got to get out of here. And it was like, oh, I killed him. I took out his eye. You want to see it? And they're like, no. I pray. I think I may die from fright if that happens. So Wit does it, and he dies. He just has a heart attack and dies. So they have been in this town for less than a week. I think at this point it was like maybe a day. And Wit has accidentally killed someone. Which. Wit accidentally kills a lot of people. It seems to be a rather often occurrence, come to think of it, which is a little worrisome, but I guess that's fine. They covered it really well. I didn't even think about it, but Wit made the body cold or cooled it so that it seemed like it had been dead for a while, which was very, very clever. They got their stuff. Stimpy tried hiding stuff all around his body. That's where he got Cat, which is a fox that's in a bag, and that's really all it does. It gets out and runs around. Stimpy grabs it and puts it back in the bag. But that's where you got that. They come back out. They say, hey, this is what was happening. They killed it. And Saint Rudd and Father Darmietro are like, okay, well, did you steal anything? Did you touch anything that wasn't yours? And they all passed their deception checks except Stimpy, because he was bulging with stuff. So all three of them get banished. Wit had tried stealing something, but he, before he even did his deception check, he was just like, you know, I'm sorry. This is what I did. So they're like, okay, well, I appreciate you telling us, but you're still banished from here. He stays on pretty good terms with Father Darmietro and Saint Rudd. He actually gets some teachings from them. And it helps his magic powers. Now, the cool thing was, is when Stimpy stole those things, he was cursed for his greed. And I actually wrote up a different curse for each person based on what they valued most. Like Stimpy liked stealing, he liked kind of being sneaky. So I made it, he had arthritis, and he'd have a really hard time doing sleight of hand or anything stealthily. Wit, if he had stolen that, he would have been cursed to always be dirty and grimy and gross. Every fabric and everything he ever touched would be dirty and gross because he was very vain. Mouseskin was very vain, at least in the beginning. I think he's kind of gone down a little bit. He's come down to earth, so to speak, which is nice. Jacob was going to lose his musical ability, and some of his athletic or acrobatic talent, because that's what bards like. That's what they are proud of. And they get kicked out, and they go back to the pub, and they just kind of take a week to relax and get to know the land. And that's how that episode ends. And it begins at the end of that week. They have had leveled up at that time. I think Stimpy just threw a bender and got drunk and partied and somehow leveled up. That's kind of how he levels up each time. But I mean, I guess it works. So they decide that they are going to take on their next contract, which is actually a delivery of a very beautiful sword to Duke Corrington. He is, or Baron Corrington. Yeah, it was Baron Corrington. He's the Baron of Drypyr. He's kind of in charge of it. They go to the blacksmith shop. The blacksmith is like, okay, yeah, go ahead and take it. Just make sure that no one besides the Baron touches it. They all wanted to touch it. Luckily, Jacob was like, oh, maybe it's poison. Maybe we shouldn't touch it. Which it definitely was. So it's a really good thing they did not touch it. Otherwise, we would have a dead party. So that'd not be great. But they go to deliver it. They meet up with the Duke's guards, which I had made it so they could just, pay them or bribe them to get in. Would have been pretty easy. I don't think they did. But they go into the Baron's home, and they notice a beautiful grand hall. They see a beautiful bone violin in the grand hall, which I made for Jake. I guess I didn't make it. I did find it on Reddit. The very, very cool item is a bone violin that can be split in half to be a bow, and it uses the violin's bow as an arrow. I made it so that it had an effect where if it killed somebody or if it shot somebody, it wouldn't leave blood. And the reason being is the bow would absorb that blood. Jacob hasn't used it in so long. And he also doesn't listen to this podcast. So I guess I can tell you. I was going to have it so each time he killed someone, it started to... He did kill one person with it, and a vein grew on the bow. And I was going to have it where if he killed enough people, it would become sentient and fleshy and try to kill him. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. I'm not actually sure if Jacob remembers that he has it. So that's where we're on with the violin. Anyways, so they go through the house. They give the Baron the sword. The Baron is very full of himself, very annoying, and they give him the sword. They are taken out into the Great Hall to get their payment, or half of their payment. The other half goes to the blacksmith. I almost said butcher, but I knew that wasn't right. The blacksmith. They get all that, and then the Baron has a heart attack and is rushed out. And while he's being rushed out, Stimpy Wit and Jake are like, oh, we need to disguise ourselves. They're going to pin us, and they spend like 5 or 10 minutes trying to find disguises or ways to not be seen. But the guards just, they're so focused on the Baron that they just run out of there. So they didn't have to hide, they didn't have to do any of that, but it was kind of fun watching them do it. Then they were exploring the house, and I didn't realize on the map, because I had also pulled the map from Reddit, because it was a beautifully done map. And I didn't notice this, like, demon statue in, like, the dining hall. So Wit went up to it, and he's like, oh, what is this? And I was like, it's our master. It's the Baron. Don't you recognize him? And all of a sudden, the Baron became a demon. And that luckily didn't go anywhere, because I didn't have anywhere for that to go. I didn't realize that statue existed until the actual campaign, until the actual session. So luckily, that didn't go anywhere. They then search the house. They go upstairs, and they look into the Baron's study, and they also look into the Baron's bathroom and search through the toilet, which there was nothing in there because I made him a demon for some reason, and I assume demons don't poop. I don't know, though. I could be wrong. But this demon didn't. But they do some more investigating, and they find a small metal locked box. And they don't know what's in it. They go and find a big mastiff that Stimpy befriends with the scones he had. He feeds them. And they go back to the blacksmith. And Wit was suggesting framing the blacksmith when they were trying to disguise. but luckily they weren't caught, so to speak. But Wit still suggested they friend the blacksmith. Stimpy's like, oh, you know what, they'll never catch you. And the blacksmith was like, I don't know, what you mean? Kind of like unknown agreement, like a... Yeah, it was good. It was good. Baron's dead. Blacksmith is happy. The Baron had killed the blacksmith's apprentice's family. So not great. Not a great person. But that's where that episode ends. They go back to their... Actually, that's not where that ends. Sorry. They go back to their room. So they've got the tavern. And they open this little metal box. And it's got a scrap of paper in it that's torn on one side. So it's about a half a paper. Half a page. And it's just bone dry. And Jacob suggests bleeding on it. And Stimpy's like, don't you dare. Don't ruin it. So they didn't. Which is ironic, because that's how they are supposed to activate the paper, is by feeding it blood, essentially. But they didn't. They then kind of hit it, and they went on their next adventure that next morning. And that's where the fifth episode takes place. So they're on their final contract. They are to go to Gert's Mercantile, and for some reason the shipments... of merchandise have not been showing up for Gertz. So she sends the party over the Athorian Divide, which is a big old, not necessarily a river, because it's like bigger than a river. Maybe, I think it's just like a canal. Unless I don't know what a canal is, I could be wrong. But we're going to call it a canal. And they go down there. They go to where the ferry's at, and there's a ferryman. And he's like, oh, 10 gold each. So they're not a fan of that price, but they go anyways. I was initially going to have the ferryman was just like a scalper. Like where the ferry was actually free, but he was just standing there telling all the new people and tourists that it's 10 gold each. Because there was some attractive women in front of our party. And they said that they got on for like 5 gold each. Which did not make Stimpy very happy. But they go on their journey. It's very relaxing. And then Blaze begins to hear a woman singing. And he looks over the edge of the water, and there's just a gorgeous, gorgeous redheaded woman. And he tries to jump in the water, but he's held back by Lausian and Stimpius. And then Lausian starts to hear a man chanting, and he sees Father Darmietro in the water. The reason... Luckily, Stimpy didn't fail, like, the check. Because in real life, Stimpy is a very... I don't know if he's necessarily secretive, but, like, I've been friends with him for many years, and I still know so little about that man. Like, I don't know. So I didn't know, I have any idea what to even do as a love interest. For Stimpius, so luckily we didn't run into that issue. But they end up finding out that it was a Rasolka, which is a cool character that I was able to find it. From what I was able to find, it comes out of Russian folklore, so well, that was kind of fun to shove on in there. And Wit does go overboard. He honestly, he technically should have died, but I fudged the death roll because it would have gone over what his max health was in the negative, so it would have just killed him. So, didn't do that. We just had it, so he got away. He got scraped down his legs, and then an old man at the back of the boat jumps off and kills the Rasolka. They get at the end of their journey. They go to the Halcyon port, which Halcyon is the kingdom in the west. And it's like, oh, well, I got this big old scratch. Do I get, like, insurance from this? And they were like, well, did you buy insurance? And he did not. He then asks them for a health potion. They're like, oh, we don't have any, but maybe check the gift shop in the back. Before that moment, that gift shop did not exist. That was not planned. But it worked out really well, and it actually ended up being a favorite for the community and for the party. And inside, they found a bunch of Halcyon merchandise, such as they got some I Heart Halcyon robes, that we turned into t-shirts. It got lost in translation somewhere, and they became t-shirts, nonetheless. And that's just what it is. But speaking of the I Heart Halcyon t-shirts, you can find them. We do have them available. I actually use my personal merch store for my Twitch channel. I put it on there. So a link in the description to that. But they go out there. They get to where the shipments seem to have been getting stopped. And they find an overturned carriage and three enemies. Stimpy's dog, that he named Finger, rips a dude's throat out. Now, what I didn't tell them in the beginning, and I didn't get a chance to really tell them, is that these three were brothers. So, obviously, if you see your brother's throat get ripped out by a dog, you're going to go after the dog, right? Well, I accidentally just, like, one-shot Stimpy's dog. But instead of killing it, I just made it unconscious. That really pissed Stimpy off. So they killed the other dude, and then the guy that pretty much killed Finger was just tortured brutally, and I was, like, shocked with the brutality of my party. And I didn't know what to do. But it turns out these guys had been looking for another one of those pieces of paper that our party found. And they found it. The last guy that was being tortured actually tells them a story that comes in handy later on that they actually all forgot. So they had to go back and re-listen to the episode. But they eventually just finish him off. And they find one of the metal containers that matches the other one. They open it and the paper is just covered in blood. But it's got words on it. It's got words on it now. So they clean it, because ew, it's bloody, and the words disappear. It's at that moment that they realize, oh, hey, we gotta put blood on it. So they get as much supplies as they can get, because the Gertz gave them a bag of holding. So they get as many items as they can, and they start to head back. They go back onto, or as they're starting to head back, Wit just feels the strangest thing. He feels drawn to this tree. And this tree actually begins to communicate with Halcyon. And he's like, oh, great elf. You're kind of watched over nature for many, many years. And I ask that you save me from this land of bloodshed. Constant bloodshed. And he's essentially like, all you have to do to save me is just take this ring. It's a ring made out of fungus, which, once again, I found it online. The people who homebrew these items are amazing. I wish I had the full picture that had the artist's name. But it was from Rudox Tavern on Instagram. That's what it was from. Amazing page. If you haven't checked it out, definitely check it out. That's RUDOKS. Rudox, and then Tavern, TAVERN. ARN? That's ERN. You know how to spell Tavern. I don't. But they discover his name is Stumpy, which is a play off our friend Stimpy. Stimpy isn't his real first name. He really doesn't like his real first name, so I won't use it. So he just prefers to go by Stimpy. So, because his last name is Stimpson, so he goes by Stimpy, so we named him Stumpy. Pretty fun. Now, Stumpy now kind of partially inhabits Wit's body. He's kind of stuck to Wit's brain. He can see what Wit sees, feel what Wit feels, all that fun stuff. And in turn, Wit gets this cool fungal ring, and he actually has fungi grow out of his arm every day that he can use for different things, like healing. Some of them explode. It's great. But if Wit were ever to remove that ring, he would die. So they're kind of together forever now, but it's been working out pretty good. However, the rest of the party think Wit's gone crazy, and they need to get the ring removed or essentially purge this demon from Wit's head. So they go back to Drypier. They go to not an alchemist. Where is an alchemist? Apothecary. And Timmy just wanted to buy a whole bunch of opium, which I was going to let him, but I was going to make it really expensive. And he decided not to. But they bought enough to fix up Finger. So Finger was all good. And they kind of went back to their room. They put the two pages together. And it like sealed itself. And it was just one page. And they covered it in blood. And they actually got a riddle that was able to lead them into their actual campaign, considering all of that was just the prologue, which I admittedly I thought they would get through two of those contracts per session. Not how it happened. Which is fine. It was great. It was fun. Everyone had fun. And it gave us content, so it was great. So they can either go by ship or by land. By ship was half as long, but they decided to go over land because Stimpy does not like the water in real life. He does not like the ocean. So they decided to go over land and actually begin their journey towards the opposite side of the land of Athoria, over to the Forgotten Shores. And it was funny because they were told to go to Forgotten Lands. And they were looking at the map. I gave them a map that had all the names of places. And they were pointing at places around the Forgotten Shores. And I had to actually like kind of point out and be like, what about that place that says Forgotten? They're like, oh, the Forgotten Shores. So that was our prologue. Those were things that I had planned to happen that didn't happen. Didn't plan to happen that did happen. But I think that's what makes D&D, and especially this group, so great and so fun, is you don't know how it's going to go. With most other games like Monopoly or Fortnite, you pretty much know what's going to happen. You don't actually have as much freedom in there as you think. Whereas with D&D, you really can do anything or try to do anything, and it's not always going to work out how you think. And I think that's a great part of it. But I hope you guys like this kind of a behind-the-scenes look with me. I'm going to try to do another one with the party, or maybe one at a time with each member, talk about kind of their favorite parts, or go over a section with them and see what they were thinking about during that time. But thank you guys all so much for joining me, and I hope you have a great rest of your day, and you will hear more from us next Friday.
Thank you all for joining us on Legends of Athoria. We will see you again next week. And remember, keep your coin purse close, or Stimpius will find you.